just for, oh, are we on record? Can you, might I ask for help?
Sure.
Can you hand out these? Please, we may not cover all of this tonight. This is like the first place we're going. This may be part one and two. So can you hold on to these and do us a favor and don't read through them, but really listen. And this is not lecture. This is interactive. So we may ask you to interrupt us with your questions, with your clarity, as well as your thoughts as to how you have experienced this. And we want to first just open up before we knew what we had to say. This vision casting meeting that the Lord just put on our docket before we knew what we had to say and said, do it, that we obeyed and we're doing it. But then he told us, this is not going to be about what you're doing, but it's going to be about who you are becoming and who you have become. And so we were like, okay, well, that's a good start. Now we know what you want us to do. So with that being the case, I'm going to throw the ball.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you guys for being here. There is, when I look into this audience, I see a lot of power here. I do not look out and see novices. I see people who are well-trained, well-versed in the word, know how to serve, know how to lead. But that might not be the case for everybody, especially if someone's listening to this, you know, on a digital file of some sort. There might be people that listen to this who either are young in their walk with the Lord, or maybe, you know, veteran status in their walk with the Lord, but still new to how things go here at Christian Life Center in South Bend. And so that's a big part of why we're assembled here today. I recognize, too, that this is the first time we've been here 10 years. This is the first time we've really gotten to do a meeting like this, where we are discussing vision casting. But really, if I can just borrow a little bit of some of the past messages that we've shared in, that transition is getting ready to happen in a very major way. So what we're doing in this assembly is kind of what I refer to when we talked about Deuteronomy and where Moses, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. But before they did that, let's have a review of where we've come from. And we're not going to do all of that in terms of what we have here planned tonight. But we do want to establish where CLC is, some of our structures and strategies, where things are. Because even if you've been here for a while, you probably don't know a lot of the information that we're getting ready to share with you. But this meeting is so that all of us have the same information, we're on the same page, and we're ready to go forward in a very organized way. And everybody's not scattered in their thinking. We have newer people here, some people who were here before CLC got here, some people came along around the time we came, some shortly after, some just recently came. With all those differences, a lot of us even come from different backgrounds in terms of church settings. That's all fine and good. None of us, myself and my wife are included, are trying to reproduce what we've already seen. You understand that? None of us are trying to reproduce what we've already seen. We're trying to silence ourselves to get a good picture and vision of what God is showing us as to who we are right now. That's why this is about what we are becoming. Our doing is birthed out of who we are. It's possible to fake it, but it's not wise to try to do what you're not. Okay, and we're not trying to impress anybody with what we do. We're not trying to overwhelm people with what we're trying to do. We're just trying to see from and hear from God, who are we? What is it that you desire for us to do and to be? And then share that with all of you so we can all do and be that simultaneously, okay? My wife just read this statement here that this meeting is not about what we are going to be doing, even though that's what you kind of tend to think about when you talk about vision casting. But it's much more about who we are becoming, and I think that's much more important. I think it's much more important to God what you are becoming more so than what you're doing. I think God calls us to do a lot of different things, really for the purpose of producing something within us, regardless to how what we're doing looks like, you know. But some time ago, not a long, long time ago, but it's like maybe a few weeks ago, I was in a time of prayer, and I was, while I was praying, I noticed my prayer was rather bold without me really trying to be bold in that moment. It's like I wasn't working up some energy. It just kind of flowed out of me. And I just said, wow, God, you are really re-somethinging my thinking right now. It's like I couldn't think of what that re were. You know, in church, we got a lot of re words like renew and restore and, you know, and all those types of things. And those are good words. But this was the first time I heard this word from the Lord. And this was from the Lord. I knew it was because when I silenced myself, the word just came. And I had to actually look it up just to think, well, that's a weird word that you just gave me. And the word was revamp that you see on that first page. It's the word revamp. I was like, oh, you're revamp. Well, what does that mean? I've never heard, that's not a real, you know, you don't hear that in church settings a whole lot. God's revamping us, hallelujah, in you know, 2019. So you don't hear that word often. So when I looked it up, I was really enamored by what I was reading. I really had a lot of, my spirit really kind of leaped inside of me. And the definition that I found is just a Google definition. It says to give new and improved form, structure, or appearance. The word, of course, I fell in love with was both new and improved. Because you can be new and not necessarily improved. You know, you can be different, not necessarily for the better. But the fact that God is saying, I'm getting ready to do something to improve your form, your structure, and your appearance. Okay, so I'm getting ready to lose a few pounds here. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, I need this towel. I'm preaching now. Come on, somebody. But I, you know, I'm a kind of a contemplator, so I just kind of went a little bit deep here. But form, structure, and appearance, I couldn't help but recognize, hey, that's three things. I'm, you know, made of three different entities in terms of body, soul, and spirit. So, okay, Lord, let's do this. What are we saying with body, soul, and spirit here? Well, form, you see that scripture from Galatians 4:19. It says, my little children, for whom I labor and birth again until Christ is formed in you. God wants to improve the Christ form in all of us. Every individual person. That's our spirit. That's the innermost part of us. And then you have Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The structures in which we think. The systems in which we think. The filters that we have and that we think through. And then, of course, there's appearance. And it's interesting, too, right around the time that God gave me this revelation, the roof and the paint job was getting done. I'm like, okay, you really are doing this, Lord. You are improving our form, our structure, and as well as our appearance. And that just kind of became a little bit of a sign to us. And so in Colossians 1, 21 and 22, it says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. And so that word present is really the key word there, because it's not so much about our appearance in terms of our physical appearance, but it's what we present to the world. It's what we present to each other. Is we'll see an improvement in that because of the Christ being formed in us, because of the restructuring, the transformation of our thinking and our minds. That's what God wants to do. He wants to revamp each and every one of us in all three of those segments. All right. Did you want to share anything here with that? All right. Keep going. All right. Language. Language is a big part of what I feel we need to get have agreement with. And I'm not saying get right out. I think that's too strong of it because we all have different ways of saying things. But it is important that our language is the same. And one of the things that came to my mind was that when God wanted to end the construction of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, the one thing he did was he confounded their language. And the principle I took away from that is if we have confounded language, we have hindered building. And if you remember some time ago, I think it was back in 2010, one of the New Year's resolution I felt the Lord gave us for our church was, this is God's church. He wants to build it. We're going to let him. I tried to figure out what the next one was for 2012 and 11 and 12 and 13. It's been that ever since. This is God's church. He wants to build it. We're going to let him. And so in that, it's a language is very important, that we're all saying the same thing, that we're all describing things using the same words. Okay, that's very important. And it is important to exercise in that and really work on that, because we all come from so many different backgrounds and different church settings. And one thing that we say might mean something totally different to somebody else, you know, and you just will have that, you know, no matter what setting that you're in. So we want to kind of share in what the language is here at CLC South Bend. In some respects, we won't be able to touch on everything, but we just want to insert here that our language is important. It's not something we should take lightly. We should not treat that casually, okay?
But I want to go ahead and jump in and say there is a lot of intentionality in the language that we use. When it comes to our attention that God wants to change something, we will have no problem kicking over a sacred cow. God's done with that. Where he's not using that.
Even so, if we were the ones that created it.
Even if he used us matter. And we saw the vision and the handwriting on the wall and we marched forward, he will integrate something into our lives so that, okay, you don't need to say that anymore. It's in there. And so we if he says change, yes, sir, because it's yours. So I want to say that, because at this point, I want to ask some people who have been around here a while, what's some language that you know God integrated or that has become a part of our culture that we just understand? Shout it out. Shout it out. We'll repeat it for the sake of the mic. Language. New language to you. Mm-hmm. Prayer language instead of speaking in tongues. Let me speak to that. Thanks, Jeff. There is an intentionality. Now, we may say, well, yeah, prayer language, speaking in tongues, same thing. But praying in the Spirit, different purpose. If I say, let's just speak in tongues, that does not signify I want you to pray. So when you've heard me or my husband or someone from the pulpit say, can we all just pray in the prayer language? You won't hear us say, can we all just speak in tongues? Because speaking in tongues does not signify, it does not say directly that I'm asking you to pray. So we will say to you, let's pray in the Spirit together. It's purposeful language. It doesn't mean because you say speaking in tongues, you're wrong. It's just our language. And we want our language to have intention and meaning. Very good one, because that's something that grew on us where it's like, no, we're not just speaking, we're praying. Yeah.
And I want to emphasize for that point in particular, we are actually talking about the same thing.
Yes.
Just so that's clarified, whether it's praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, heavenly language, prayer language, I've heard a number of ways to describe it. But just so that our language is singular, we tend to say praying in the Spirit.
Praying in the Spirit, prayer language, and that's a really good, just so that we're on one accord and we know we're not just speaking. Look up the word speaking in the dictionary and look up the word praying. They don't mean the same thing. Although, because
right
I'm speaking right now, not necessarily praying. However, we know prayer is our communication with God. So we're not trying to say, you said it wrong. It's not, please don't.
God don't hear you because you said it wrong.
Please don't do that to anyone. But this is a meeting amongst core and family and teams and volunteers and leaders that are co-laboring together. So we just want to speak the same thing so that someone who has never heard about tongues or interpretation or a language outside of English, that there is clarity. That it has a purpose. And so another part of language that you've heard around CLC that you know there's intention to. It's a huge one. It's a huge intention there. It's a huge intention there. And you'll see some of this in your notes, but I'm going to throw some at you. This isn't against anybody else who does it differently. But we are intentional about children's ministry, not child care. If there is a service happening at church, we don't do child care. We do ministry for children. If it's an event or an activity, we do child care. They might play, they might watch a movie, but if it is a service at CLC, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, what time is our service? 10 o'clock, I'm going back
nine
to
o'clock.
Two
that's
services.
What, that's what time you get here, it's 9 o'clock.
We used to do four services when we were in Illinois. Can you imagine? And it was like a 9 o'clock service and so my mind went there for a minute. Forgive me, Lord. We want to offer ministry for children. Now, there are some that still call it Sunday school. We have nothing against Sunday school. I am a big proponent of Sunday school, but that is not what we offer. We offer discipleship class for our children on Sunday mornings. And actually, our discipleship team is here. Miss Julie teaches discipleship for children. We're not going to say you're wrong, curse those words if you say Sunday school. But for language, we want you to say, well, what's discipleship? We want you to ask that so that we can explain and expound why we do that, as well as adults. We have people that have gone to our website looking for an adult Sunday school class. Well, we offer discipleship, but come right on in. You know, if you want that, we have that at 9:15 upstairs in our library. So there's some intention there. And when we refer to our children's ministry, we generally have a name, and that is Kids Life. So there's some other languages in here, but just to give you some, are there any questions about our language? Just at this point, are there any questions? Like, why do you guys say this? No silly or foolish questions. Any? Some may come to you, throw that out. Any comments about that? Anything? Anybody got anything? Okay, I'm really going for the interaction, but that's all right. So we're going to jump. Go ahead. You have.
No.
We're going to jump into the section about our membership, our vision, mission, and strategy. The reason why we place that there, and I'm going to ask James to help me with something. We want to give you little intentional pieces of paper that come from our membership manual that have to do with our vision, that have to do with our vision and our strategy. So as was already spoken, since we have people from many different backgrounds, we have designed a one-time membership class to explain who we are and what we believe, tell a little bit about us and a little bit about the history of CLC. And many times we will mention the history, especially for those who have lived in this area for a long time, like, y'all always been that? So we talk about CT. It's not a taboo. It's like we just open up. This is who we are, and this is how we've become who we are. And so the majority of you guys, you already know that's nothing new to you about our membership class. But what James is passing out to you right now, that's inside our membership book, but there's some things that we want to go over or touch on that are just real intention that's in that mission and vision. For those of you who hear us say every Sunday, we're committed to loving people to their next place in God, that statement is our mission. And then there is our vision. Our mission is based. Go ahead and jump right on in there.
The mission is what we set out to do. The vision is basically what we see ourselves being. That's really the difference between the two. So you said our mission, loving people to their next place in God.
So, and what I want to say about that is we knew, I'm going to use one of our former, one of our former pastors' expressions about this. When God spoke to us about being a hospital, we were like, ooh, that's not really a, And it's not a sexy word for a church. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's a thing. I mean, like, it doesn't sound like, ooh. It doesn't sound like, it's like, really? That's what you guys are aiming for, huh? And so we struggled with that. Like, okay, God, we hear you saying this. But then one of our overseers added this one word as we had met and had a meeting and just talked about, hey, how are we doing, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, if you're gonna ascribe to that, can I add something to that? And I said, please. And he said, teaching hospital. Boy, nothing like an adjective to describe a noun. Boy, it just changed everything for us in perspective. And from that point to this, we were like, okay, Lord, whatever this sounds like, jazzy or wonderful, we want to be who you want us to be. And so I don't know how many have heard me make this statement, but this was one of the statements that was made in that overseer meeting with the pastors that were speaking into our life and CLC. And it was Dale Van Steenis who said this, and he said, here's the thought behind that. To the broken, your healing is in recognizing your value in helping. It took me a minute. It's just like, could you say that again? And he said, to the broken, your healing is in recognizing your value in helping. So nobody gets to come and be poor in mind. So poor in mind that I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. Because that is a victim mentality, and you cannot receive anything from the Lord with that mentality. You won't receive anything from the Lord with that mentality. So while he wants us to be poor in spirit, he does not want us to be poor in mind. I have something I can do to help. If it's bringing you a cup of coffee or a cup of water, or bringing you a towel to wipe your brow, I have something I can give. And it starts there. Questions, comments? We good?
You said mission and vision.
Yes.
Yeah, repeating the mission and vision, the difference between the two. It's just a matter of the difference between being and doing. The mission is what you've set out to do. The vision is basically an overall picture of what you see yourself being that God unveils and basically helps us to see in terms of what he desires for us to be.
A question. As a church, are we a denominational church? No, we are not a denominational church. And though we may have many of us from many different backgrounds and many different affiliations, we are not formally or really informally associated with any particular denomination. We hold to the unity of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want unity in the faith. And so regardless of what anybody else's denomination is, we want unity. So I want to take a statement that is a part of our bio, and my husband really kind of wordsmithed this statement, and it's on page 2 of your notes, and I want to go through that. If you don't mind, just because I would really like to hear someone else's voice, can you guys read the paragraph with me at the top of page 2? Or just read it to us. That would be lovely. Yeah, hand it to James, so for the purpose of the microphone. On 3, 1, 2, 3, the back of page 1. Oh, it got cut off. All right. It starts with here at. On 3, 1, 2, 3.
Life centers.
James, read the microphone.
Followers, worshipers of Jesus Christ, his words and his Holy Spirit. Our ministry efforts focus on creating an intentionally diverse worship experience that embraces all cultures, strengthening families naturally, spiritually, actively supporting and positively influencing our community, helping the less fortunate locally and abroad, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with every person, and loving people from wherever they are to their next place in God. In the power of Holy Spirit, we are committed to breaking through denominational, social, economic, cultural barriers to unify God's people to be a light that displays the love of Jesus Christ to the world.
Amen. Amen. It's a mouthful. But I'm asking you, a lot of people don't see it because it's in our bio. It's in our membership book. But when he works, I mean, we worked on this. This was probably 2013 when we became independent. And we were like, Lord, what do you want us to be? What do you want us to do? And we spent a lot of time listening and accurately scribing. I typed in a lot of the typing. He did most of the talking. What is in the heart of God for us? What will make us unique? If someone wants to know that, it can be found in this paragraph. In this corner of God's kingdom, this is the style, personality, flavor, essence of who he has made us to be as a church. It's a lot of words, but it's some intentional words there. We will not apologize for wanting the Holy Spirit and his presence and his power. We will not apologize if that makes people uncomfortable, but we still want to be relevant and friendly and not weird to the person who walks in who has no clue who the Holy Spirit is. So, Lord, how do we do that with wisdom? Because we want to attract people to you, and we trust the Holy Spirit to do that. We trust him. There are people that sit amongst us in our congregation who have never heard of Holy Spirit. And we want to be wise and sensitive and discerning as to how to introduce that. I sat a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, in a counseling appointment with a young woman who had been trying to get on my books for a whole year. And I mean, for a whole year, it just wasn't happening. And she finally made it into my office and was in so much grief and pain that I just was like, Lord, where do you want me to start? He's like, why don't you start by introducing me? Now, you have to understand, I only do biblical counseling. So I expect people to come to me already knowing Jesus. And so when I introduce Jesus, I'm feeling silly. And she says, who's Jesus? Well, you would know that she doesn't know who you are. So before we deal with any counseling, can I introduce you to him? And I lay out in 20 minutes redemption's plan. And I lead her to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was the most beautiful session, because after we did that, I was like, can I offer you some healing? And we went right into healing. And guess who heard God's voice, Holy Spirit's voice, for the first time and received healing? Heard it not just once, but three times. I'm like, why don't you ask Jesus what he has for you? It was so beautiful. And if you've been in healing, you know what that like. That's like when you hear God's voice for the first time. It was beautiful. And I'm thinking, you got to come to church. Can I invite you to our services? And that person is sitting in the pews next to you every week, has not missed a Sunday. And you wouldn't know who they are. But think about how we expect people to know things. And we expect them to know how to behave in church. And we expect them to know better. And we may be hindering them from getting a fuller knowledge and experience of who Jesus is and what he wants them to know. But they have a next place too. But it may not be what we think it is. So why don't we commit to trusting the work of the Holy Spirit in their life? And not our formality, and not our traditions, and not our background. But let's trust his. Like, what do you want them to know today? And so this is why we're really taking great lengths to say it's not just words. Lord, we want to trust you and your work to do this work, to break through barriers and break through all types of backgrounds and break through all types of traditions for what you want to do in someone's life. And we have no idea what that looks like, because it will not look like what you did for me exactly. So just want to, and there's that wonderful phrase of agreement that we're asking every person here to enter into. God wants to build his church, and we want to let him. And so jump in, because I'll get off on a tangent.
Okay. Our statement of beliefs, and I believe you have that there, and it's the next part of the handout that we're going through. We have what we call essential beliefs. Beliefs like, you know, this is the Christmas holiday coming up. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We believe that he is the only begotten Son of God, that he is 100% God, 100% man, that he died on the cross, and his blood atoned for all of the sins of mankind. He rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, who is now here and has been since the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Those are essential beliefs. We don't waver from those beliefs. We have complete agreement when it comes to those beliefs as Christians. We have unity in that place. There are other beliefs that are non-essential beliefs. I always use the example of how we dress, you know. Certain churches or certain, I don't know if certain denominations do this, but we've had the experience where there was a certain expectation as to how we dress when it came to leadership. And that was okay, because they wanted to present a certain way of dressing. But it became just a little bit too religious after a while. But those are non-essential things. And so it's why I purposely wear jeans in the pulpit. I wear a suit jacket just to accommodate, you know, what people see. But I purposefully wear jeans so that people who have been, you know, shell-shocked by different legalistic things can look and say, hey, the pastor's wearing jeans. It must be cool here. It must be okay. I can relax. I can at least just not. Let me check one thing off the list that I don't have to worry about when it comes to coming to church. And it's how I dress. So those are non-essential things. And what was the word that we have for that? It's liberty. Where you're free to wear whatever it is that you wear on a normal day in church. If you want to wear your what we call Sunday best, that's great. Jeans and a t-shirt, it doesn't matter to us. Those things we have liberty in. And then, of course, in all of our beliefs, we show charity, which, of course, is love. Okay, so that's important.
So what Rico just handed out, thank you. Didn't know you guys were going to work tonight. The essentials we believe. What you received is what is a portion of what is in our membership manual. There are 9 essentials that you see here. There's more like 18 in our constitution, because we get very descriptive in our constitution and our bylaws as a church. Not more rules, just clarity. These are our essentials. Now, what I want to say about this, you can read them later. You will see, or you can read them now. That's fine. You will see on these 2 pages, not just the essentials that we believe, but you will also see our lifestyle statement of what we practice. So what do we mean by priesthood of every believer? Scripture. What do we mean as the Bible is our sole authority? What do we mean by tithing and communion and healing and immersion and blah, 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 blah? Those things that may be foreign to some people, you can find all that information here. What I really want to say about our statement of belief, which we've already laid the groundwork for this, because we come from all different backgrounds, because many of us cut our teeth in a particular denomination. Many, maybe not everybody, but we have so many different backgrounds. And because of the mission and vision that God has given us here at CLC, we will make it a point to what you see here does not lean or bend to any particular denomination in language. And that is intentional. So let me make it plain. If you are a Trinitarian and that's what you see yourself as, if you are a oneness and that's what you see yourself as, and you read this statement, we want you to try to figure out what that means. We want you to try to figure out that means, not go, well, you know, they believe more like me. We hope everybody says, well, they believe more like me. But here's the deal. It looks airy, but we're not tiptoeing around an issue. We just refuse to split hairs and divide, as scripture says, about doubtful things that none of us, it's been argued for centuries, none of us are going to solve on this side of heaven. So however you want to see things, then if you want to be here, you are welcome. But if you want to lead in ministry, what we ask that you do is to walk in agreement with us. We are not interested in changing anybody's belief, but walk in agreement. So don't get in front of a group of people and say, well, you know, at CLC, they believe. But what I really believe, that's inappropriate, out of order. It's not decent, and it will cause offense, or it will cause division or discord. So can we agree that there is one God revealed by Father, Holy Spirit, and Son? Can we agree on that? Can we agree that there it was a virgin birth, and that the begotten sonship, Jesus Christ, is 100% God and 100% man? And this is what I'm asking. And if you have any problems going, I really have a problem believing that, it's okay. Schedule an appointment. We can talk about it. And we can, I mean, really, we can talk. We want to hear you. But what we want you to know is that this is what we have submitted as a non-denominational church to be able to present, that does not lean one way or another to where somebody feels more comfortable.
Yeah, I'd like to add a little bit more clarity, too, if I could, about our I guess, non-denominational affiliation, or whatever you want to call it. My personal belief, and I think I've said this before, I can't remember what setting, if it was a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or something. I really believe that when people are ascribing to a certain denomination, that it tends to suit their personality more than their spirituality. I believe that. Now, that's just me. Somebody else may believe something different. But we're not non-denominational because we think non-denominational is better than Baptists. Our expression of that is just a matter of who we are. Denominationalism just doesn't stick with us. It just doesn't. People have explained to me thousands of times the differences between Presbyterian, Lutheranism, Apostolic, Pentecostal, Baptist. I can't remember a single thing ever. So there's no way I could ever be that, because it just doesn't stick. I would forget. I would violate every principle of every denomination that there ever was, because it just doesn't stick. And it's not on purpose. It just doesn't. You know, and that's and so non-denominational just kind of fits us. It's who we are. It's more of a description of who we believe and how we express our belief in God, not because, well, we think this is the better way to be. Baptism, Baptist, no, you can't be that because they do this, and that. Or Presbyterian, no, you can't be that because they do this, and that, and they don't do enough of this. And it's not that at all. It's just a matter of who we are. It's how we express our relationship to God, our communication, our love, and our relationship with the Lord, and that's all it really is. It's not about, we don't believe this other denomination is the right way to go. You need to stay away from that. It's not that at all. We appreciate the different expressions of how God made people, and it's perfectly fine. And another thing is that I think my wife was sharing this as well. If we being a non-denominational church, and you still feel like I'm still this at heart, whatever that is, that's perfectly fine with us. It really is. And I'm not meaning tolerant of it. I'm saying God bless you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are that and you hold to that, we're perfectly fine with that. The only thing I would not like is if that clashes with somebody else's whatever. You know, you got somebody over here that's a Presbyterian, somebody over here that's a former Catholic, and somehow you guys aren't getting along with each other because of that, then that's a problem. Okay? But I have no problem at all with your desire to express your relationship through Catholicism, through Baptist, or through Apostolic or Pentecostal or whatever it may be. But as a church, we are a non-denominational church. It just, for whatever reason, it just does not stick.
We had some friends in Chicago, Spirit-filled Catholics, powerful relationships, Spirit-filled Catholics. Like, wow, that's cool. And I mean, they could preach. I was like, I'm impressed. And, you know, if you sit anywhere around the elders, you might hear some joking that's unnecessary. But I'm telling you, I grew up holiness, and I thought the Baptists wasn't saved for real. And so we made joke with each other. I'm like, we would drive by the Baptist church and they would be smoking, and we would talk to them, you don't do that, you're going to hell. So I'm saying we have fun with it sometimes, but this is a serious matter. But it's because we know each other, we love each other, and we're not trying to send each other to hell. But if you grew up in those denominations, you know that this was standards and they were rule breakers. You would have to be excommunicated or you would have to go. And we know that there are people that come to our church who have experienced that type of condemnation, legalism, and aggression. Abuse. Abnormal use of the word of God and his truth. And we do not want to see that live here. It cannot live here. We cannot have division. So while we would love, I mean, you know, healthy discussion and things like that. You guys want to talk, you know, and have some debates, you know, please don't allow the enemy to come in and bring division. Like, let's safeguard our relationship and our community. For that. And I just want to say that this is probably a good time as ever to, Rico, I hope I had you. Oh, I didn't have you hand this one out. This is the last part of the membership manual. Sorry. It's separate because this is what we ask everyone to agree to commit to as members of the house. And you've seen it before, but I just want to give you the detail version that has all of the scriptures connected to what we're asking people to do. And it basically just says, listen, as a church, we will do whatever's necessary to protect the unity of our church. I will protect the unity of our church. I will protect the unity of our church. If that means I have to repent for something I did not do, and the Lord is leading me to repent, guess what? I repent because I want to protect the unity of my church. I think I shared this with one of our ministry leadership teams once. But, you know, at our at our last assignment before moving to South Bend, we were campus pastors in Tinley Park in Illinois, and there was clearly someone who was very deeply offended at something that happened, and we're the campus pastors. And as campus pastors of about 1,500 people at the church at that time, we knew, based on our overseers and our senior pastors, that we were responsible for everything that happened in that building. Everything. Didn't matter that we weren't the children's pastor. Didn't matter that we weren't the youth pastor. That was the nature of our job, and we were responsible for it all. Everything. And someone got offended and hurt, and I had to apologize to them, because on behalf of the church, I'm sorry that they had that experience. But you got, I mean, that thing, man, I was like, but God, we didn't do anything. We didn't do that. But he's like, no, I want you to take responsibility for what they experienced. And the daggers that I felt because of this wounded person was so, it was like I was the person that wronged her, is the way she was vehemently, aggressively articulating to me. And I'm going, God? And he's like, just be me right now. Be me. And man, I did what he asked me to do, and later I didn't recover well because I needed to be healed of anger after that. But I'm just saying, I'm serious. Oh, I was obedient, but later I was devastated. I was like, Lord, he's like, yeah, well, you'll see that again. Because I didn't recover well. I couldn't hardly do that and mean it and be okay with it. I was like, Lord. And so I'm talking to majority in this room of leaders who I'm asking you that when we become a part of this church, and then as we become to protect and cover the church, this is how we protect that unity. Acting in love, refusing to gossip, to resolve by resolving conflicts according to Matthew 18. By following leadership. That we would share in the responsibility of our church. And you guys can read. You will serve in the ministry of our church. You will support the testimony of our church and commit to love people to their next place. And you can see the more detailed with scripture version there. But this is what we're asking everyone to do. Now, I'm going to do in this setting what I do with my children when the Lord says, I want you to repent to your kids. Because, yeah, you missed the mark back there. So when I have to repent, then I then tell my children, I'm going to give you permission to hold me accountable to what I just repented to you for. And I've done that with our leadership team before. And I'm telling you that in this setting, we have to give each other in our life that we're doing community with permission to say, your slip is hanging. Your zipper is unzipped. Your pantyhose are flipping up your skirt. That's a thing. If you used to wear pantyhose in church, you know that's a thing. I'm just saying, that can be very embarrassing. You have to give people permission to call you out when you are not protecting the unity. You have to give people permission. That doesn't mean everybody's the same. You know, you may have to find your safe place to say, could you give me, I give you permission. Because everybody may not, you necessarily, you know, you'd be able to hear that from. But I'm asking you guys to help us do this and ask the Lord how to do this when you see something hurting our church, hurting our, you know, our community. Like, Lord, show me how to address this because this is hurtful. You know, now this isn't permission to go around and say, you're hurting our unity. You're hurting our unity. You're hurting. No, that's not it at all. Please, not shame on you. But to recognize it, go right back to the Lord and say, Lord, this isn't setting well with me. And I will tell you, we've had more success and we've had really great, we've had great experience with people just coming and saying, I've got questions. I don't understand. And that to me was protecting the unity. Something happened, and I'm not sure about it. Thank you. Thank you for coming and asking. And, I mean, we've got newer people here that have done that. And for you, I say thanks. You know who you are, who come and ask, please help me understand, blah, 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 because I now see something that looks incongruent with what you have shared and said. And thank you for doing that, because we all have human error. Amen. Comments, questions, good place. Over anything heard or said, comments, questions. Come on, jump in there. You know you got one. Jump in.
If you have a question later, you can always download the CLC South Bend app.
Pass this microphone, please.
I think I gave Pastor Doug new terminology for the church one time when I was talking to him about something I was feeling, and I call it the Twilight Zone. The best way to explain it is, okay, you know when you've been to certain churches and there's like, hi, how you doing? And there's like that, it's not real. It's like I'm just, yeah, it's like a fake hi or whatever. One of the things that I experienced, and one of my friends that happened to visit, because I kept telling her, I said, it's like going to the Twilight Zone. It's weird. It's, they're like real loving, like for real. And so when she came to visit for the picnic, she said, you know, it's real strange around y'all. Everybody is just like real nice, like for real, like genuinely nice. And so I said, I told you it's the Twilight Zone. That's the best way I can explain it.
Are flowing in the spirit, because that's my next segue. You all see a little line there says assimilation and acclimation. Okay, so let me piggyback on what Tracy just said and tell you that in the process of flirting with the church or courting the church or dating the church and kind of kicking the tires around, as we call it, and going, do I really want to be a part of this? Like, this is nice, but I'm not sure. Am I going to jump in and enter into the Twilight Zone or not really sure? Like, is it really what I think it is? Like, there's a whole process for that. Did you know that? It's a thing. It is a thing that you're just kind of courting. You're sitting on the edge, you know, on the back row or just checking out. And for me, I know looking for, let me catch somebody off guard and see, are they really this nice? You know what I mean? Like, that's a thing. But there's a process of kind of courting and then committing and saying, okay, I'll join a ministry or I'll volunteer. And then there's the part of when you commit and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and join, and you become a member. And then there's like the honeymoon period where it's like, isn't this wonderful? Sorry, I just lost your rag. And so then there comes my first trial in the church. Anybody had a trial in the church yet? Where, I'm just saying, let's be honest. Then there comes, because the honeymoon period is going to end everywhere if you keep living. The Twilight Zone now has become Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm just kidding. Forgive me, Lord. But what you end up finding is cracks in the armor. You end up finding what I used to call, guess what? Doug and Shauna's feet are made of clay too. Did you know that? Feet of clay. Did you know that there is that period of disillusionment where you're like, oh, they're human? Oh, they have faults? Oh, you mean they can fail me or they can let me down? Or, and the immediate, you know, panic button is usually fear, like, tell me it's not so. Now, and the reason why I'm bringing that up is because in our assimilation and acclimation, there's just something I want you to know. And I do want you to know that there are no perfect people allowed here. That's the first thing. Think about it. no perfect people allowed here. None. No, not one. Because if you are, you're going to make a mess for us. Right? If you are perfect and you enter into our equation, you're getting ready to tear something up. Because we all know we're not. Okay? So, that's first. But secondly, part of the big reveal is, what do I do when my trial hits? I ask, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to know? What are you revealing? Am I supposed to speak to it? Am I supposed to pray about it? Am I supposed to intercede for it? Am I supposed to wait for it? Which part gets submitted? Which part gets addressed? Which part, like, what do I do with this? And that's a critical window. Because my experience with new places is that whatever giants might have defeated me in my last territory are coming for me in my new. And I don't care if you mean me perfectly well. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with the giant that defeated me in my last place. This is just a word to the wise. The Bible says it's sufficient. It doesn't mean what you're looking at isn't wrong. But what are you looking at it for? What is God revealing in it? What is he showing you in it? What's it for? God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? That's really, really important. Because, as Tracy said, the shoe's gone. It's like, when's the shoe going to drop? Like, she used to say, and I was like, oh, Lord, I just pray in the spirit every time she starts talking about the Twilight Zone and the shoe dropping. Lord, I don't know what day that's going to be. But because I know. And we've walked together in ministries now, so we know. We know one another. We co-labor. We know them that labor among us. But understanding that, could you not think about you right now and think about somebody else who is new, who will have their first trial for a minute, and ask the Lord to help you be a safe place for them, that you'll cover them when they experience that trial, that shock value or that fear, because it looks like something that they've seen before. Real talk, I counsel people who have been molested in church, raped in church. This is abuse spiritually. So you don't know what is going to make people that looks familiar to them, that's going to make them jump, jerk, and want to run for the hills. But if God allowed them to cross that door and get this far, Lord, help us not to blow it. Lord, help us not to blow it. Lord, help us not to blow it. And then after we not blow it, help us to make a great impact for you. You know? So we got to talk about it. Avoid criticism without care. Jump in there.
Sure. Where are we? Avoid criticism. Rose in response. No, I think you handled that portion really well. I think you covered that really well. I'm looking at the roles and responsibilities. What I'm looking at more so is this thing in parentheses, the hierarchy versus responsibility, and then it says carrier of the ball. And of course, that's a football terminology that Shauna put in there, not me. Yeah, right. But you know, when you have a football team, there's one person carrying the ball, but the whole team scores when they do. It's not one individual that gets set 6 points. The whole team gets 6 points. So it's not an issue of hierarchy. It's really more an issue of when we talked about volunteers and leadership, we choose to focus more on roles and responsibility. This is what you're assigned to. Let the driving force be God himself when you receive that responsibility. Not so much, oh my God, am I going to please the pastors? You know, we all have a natural tendency to want our work to be excellent. But there's a peace within of us that tells us when we're done, when there's something more that nagging, I shouldn't say nagging, but just that nudging force that says, there's a little bit more to this. I'm not quite done. And it's not about whether or not the person over me is going to be satisfied. But it's really, there's an excellence that I know that I want to present to the Lord. And so I just want to go ahead and do it that way. And we say, hey, go for that. And just understand what your role is on the team, what your responsibilities are. We want to make sure you understand that. And if you have any questions, we want to be able to quickly and very plainly answer that for you so that you can have the answers that you need for that. But the issue of hierarchy, we want you to just set that somewhere. We understand what you mean when you if you use that terminology, but that's not our focus in terms of who has the power. We all have the power, and we all have the power to understand what our roles are, to understand what our responsibilities are, and do those, and support one another in their respective responsibilities as well.
You will hear language like who, you know, who's on your team or whose team are you on? Now, who are you under? Who's over you? Wrong language, because that communicates something that we do not want to communicate. It's just not our focus. Do we have someone that we report to that is responsible for our area? Absolutely. But we serve on a team. And we are all co-laborers with one another. And we really like what that looks like and what it feels like. And so if we toss you the ball, we will show up and just wait for you to do what you're going to do. And we won't come into your meeting and take over your meeting. We're going to sit in your meeting and observe your meeting. And if you say, Pastor, you got something? Well, not really. Or, sure, I was thinking this, but you got the ball. Carry the ball. And we submit one to another. Ephesians 4, please understand that those are not just words. It is our heart that we learn how to submit one to another. And we had to first really learn that in our marriage/ministry, because 2 weeks after we got married, we was ordained to be youth pastors. And I'm like, well, how does this work? So we got handed both balls at the same time. And I'm like, yeah, that was quite the learning curve, because he wanted me to do all the talking. Am I right?
On and on.
Tell the truth. Shame the devil. I would ask him, you got anything? Why don't you preach this week in youth church? No, you got it. And then when we became more like children's pastors, then he was like, okay, all right. And I led worship, and he preached. And so we began to trade the balls around, and I know why God did that. He showed us together his strengths versus mine. And when it was time for me to step up, because this was the area that I was stronger in, and when it was his turn, and it just helped. It was like, God, you're so wise, because like I would have screwed this up really bad. What's wrong with you? I would have, I promise. Now, you have some words here that are just have some of our own personal meanings. You won't find those meanings necessarily in the dictionary. But in roles and responsibilities, you might see something like FTG. Does everybody know what that is? First time guest. FTG. It's just our little, when we're like, hey, who are the FTGs? We want to know, you know, who's coming and kicked our tires for the first time. Attender versus regular attender. Attender, somebody who's been here maybe twice, maybe three times, but someone who's a regular attender, they feel like this is home. They may not have become a part of our church yet, but it's home to them. And we welcome them. And it's okay that they consider this family and home. That's fine. But we do distinguish what member and family is. And the reason why this is important to us is because we want to know who is God given us responsibility for. And every person that comes into this church is not our responsibility. Everybody who comes into our database is not our responsibility. Some people don't want you to be, don't want to be your responsibility. They're just coming to see how you are, or for whatever other reason. And so we offer official formal membership for that reason. No need to carry on. You get it. Volunteer, someone who serves within our church on ministry team. Team, a group of people devoted to a specific ministry area within the church team leader. Now, this is where, you know, our verbiage may be unique to other churches. I don't know, but it just made sense for us. A team leader is a person who leads a team, basically. They have a team of people who are serving together, and they are leading that team. How they differ from a group leader, we use that word group in front of leader, specifically when we are talking about leading a Bible study or a group study or a life group or a ministry group. It is not a service team. Do we understand? Any questions? That's the difference. Our coordinator, when you hear us, when we ask people to coordinate something, they're a person who's helping to facilitate an event. They are not necessarily, that's how it distinguishes from that of another leader. So a director and a coordinator does not have the same responsibility. It's not about one being less or greater than. It has to do with responsibility. Our directors here are personally responsible for overseeing the direction and overall vision of that ministry. So please understand that it's not hierarchy based, it's responsibility based. Our presbytery is our team of elders and pastors, and we use a very dated word because we want to function as one team. And our elders and pastors are given those roles based on their callings and gifts, as well as anointings that God has given them that they need to carry out. So you can read a little bit more there. Our leadership team, a group of people responsible for leading ministry teams. So when you get an invitation to a leadership team, sometimes it's because you're a leader. That would be a thought. The other times it's because you are training, and we see leadership in you. We know the gift of leadership is in you, and we've asked you to come and walk with us that we may know you and you may know us, and we may find out how God wants to use us. So at this point, I'm going to take a momentary break and ask you for feedback on what is the one reason you remember deciding to become family at CLC. And I am bouncing this mic around.
Okay. Well, I guess for me, it was that feeling of having permission to grow. Like sometimes you go to a team or an organization and you feel like to be a part of it, you have to have already made it. Like you have to be at a certain point, you have to be at a certain level. Whereas here, I've always felt I've had permission to grow. Like I've been parts of teams where, like a football team, they throw somebody out there, they make one mistake, oh, they're back on the bench for the next four games. And you'll never see them ever again. Whereas here, it's like you identify their gifts and you put people in position to grow and flourish. So for me, I've always felt empowered and enabled to grow my own gifts spiritually, physically, emotionally, right here.
Four years ago, Christian Life Center South Bend had great Google ratings. You guys were at the top of the list. That's a true story, though. That's a true story. 4 years ago, when I came home from my last mission, I Googled non-denominational churches, and Christian Life Center was number one on the list. First page, CLCSB. And that goes back to what Pastor Doug was saying about the denominational thing. You were explaining non-denominational, and the word that comes to my mind, and this kind of filters back to my last ministry, but it's kingdom. It's not, you know, this is what we believe in. This is how we get into heaven. It's kingdom. This is what God wants. So when I looked at the website, I looked at, you know, what I saw at face value. That's what it was. It was multicultural, multiracial, you know, just kids' life and all that good stuff. And it was non-denominational, and it stands for, I guess you could say, what I identify with. But between Google and what the website was at that time, that's what brought me here. She had no choice.
I did have a choice. No, when I came for the first time, of course, we were dating. And I remember, of course, like Miss Tracy was saying, people were just really, really friendly. And I was impressed by that. I'm like, okay, people actually care to know what your name is. They really do care how you're doing. It's not a passing, how are you? But I do remember this, that at a certain point in service, you were speaking, and I said, like something came over me, and I started to tear up. And I said, I like her. Like, seriously. And then afterwards, I found out that you went to ORU, and I was like, that's why I like her. We went to the same college. But no, just the overall feel of the ministry. It was so inviting between the both of you and, again, all of the people that were here. And I told my husband, well, of course, he wasn't my husband at the time, but I said, okay, so if we continue on in this relationship, and, you know, if I have to come out that way, I think I'll be all right. Of course, because I was serving in ministry in my hometown, and so I was like, okay, you know, yeah, so had a very good experience coming, so.
whenever I think of CLC, I think of home. Because when I first came here, well, there's two reasons. One, because you guys really, kind of echoing what James said, you guys really zero in and focus on what people are actually good at or what are your strengths. You go through that, you know, you go through the class and you figure out what your strengths are, what you might be interested in. Because when I came here, I didn't want to do anything because I came to CLC in a very broken state, very broken place in a time in my life. And but they didn't matter. You guys saw I got snatched up and I got put somewhere. So I mean, no, but in a good way. In a good way. So CLC has been home to me ever since, and I'm very grateful.
I think it was the first Sunday that I came to visit. You mentioned the mission statement, loving people to their next level in God, and that just, like, it just hit me, like, real hard, like, wow, somebody that actually believes that everybody hasn't arrived yet. Wow, that's awesome. And I think a lot of the Twilight Zone had to do with that as well. Because it was just people that would be like, hi, how are you? And you think it. And because I've been through chemo, I'm like, do I have chemo brain? And I'm supposed to know them, and I don't remember who that is. But it was just stuff like that, and it was welcoming. And like he said, you know, I came with the expectation of just punching the church time clock and coming, get a word, and leave. And somehow or another, I don't know what happened. I got, you know, dragged into the Twilight Zone, and it won't let go now.
For me, the thing that stood out, I came at a time when I was transitioning in my life and probably broken and really wanting a more intimate relationship with the Lord. And so I was seeking God for that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And so the hook was the constant prayer throughout the service, the intentional prayer, and really wanting to hear from God because that's what I was seeking and just lined up with my spirit.
It's a lot of people here. Yeah. Well, when I came, I was broken, very hurt and wounded. I had just lost my 15-year-old grandson. And so I was in a bad state. But one of the things that really stood out with me was the praise and worship. It was so pure and so awesome. And the anointing was there. And I think maybe for the first 3 or 4 months, I think I cried in every service. I mean, just cried all the way through. But I knew that healing was taking place. So that's just one segment. I got many. But it's just everyone was lovely. Pastor Shauna was always there. You didn't have to, you know, just get through armor bearers to get to her and do all this other cliche stuff or religious stuff. And so I really appreciated that. And so it was just the worship. And the worship is still pure. It's still awesome. So it's me.
I don't know that I have anything to say. Other than from the very first time I walked into the doors here, I felt, as Tracy said, the love, the pure love. But I think the biggest thing for me was when Pastor Doug spoke, he did not apologize for bringing God's word just straightforward without, you know, trying to fix it so that everybody felt good about it. He just brought the word. He meant what he said, and I knew he heard from God. So I was hooked.
I was going through a very rough time. I had just lost my husband, and I knew God was doing a 180-degree turn in me, and he was orchestrating my life. So Thomas and I drove through here, and we were driving around churches and praying, asking God, where are we to go now? You know, and pastors happened to be here late one afternoon, which was abnormal at that time, but they were here, and they met us under the awning, and they invited us to church the following Sunday. So we came, and I realized that this was a couple that, like she said, hears from God, listens to God, cares about what God has to say, and they teach us how to listen and get that personal feeling with God, that personal, relationship, thank you, with God that we want to have, the intimate relationship and the teaching that I never have had in all my years of going to various churches. And I've gone to churches where the pastors are on TBN, and you don't get that kind of teaching from these people. And it was just amazing to me. So.
Well, I came before you guys were even here. It was right when it switched over to CLC. So that's been a long time. But the thing that really spoke to me, and Kawana talked about it, the pure worship, and that has stayed steady. I mean, we've had a lot of transition with our praise and worship team and who's led it and that, but I feel like God has just really blessed that area and given us an open heaven for our praise and worship. And just recently, and I shared with Pastor, I had a testimony from my son-in-law, and he's only been here maybe a handful of times, but what really spoke to him was that everybody could worship how they wanted to worship. He just felt free, and I think that's what is what's kept me here then all these years too.
Well, the first time I came here, I just took my parents. They wanted to find another church, and I had been to another church, and so I took them over here, and I remember coming in just having a spirit of intercession and needing a prayer room, and somebody saying, well, we do have a prayer room, but we don't allow people to come in, but we're going to open it up, and they just welcomed me in, and I remember during worship, you know, it was just like my first visit. I remember the Lord asking me to pick up a flag. And I struggled back there. We had a conversation, but Lord, I'm not part of the team. But Lord, I didn't ask the pastor's permission. But Lord, and finally, I was like, okay, I'm just going to be obedient and do this. And I did. And then after the song, you just got up to minister to me. And you were like a fly on the wall. everything the Lord was speaking to me, you just kind of reverberated, you know, back into me. And you said, it's okay, we welcome you here. And, you know, it's okay, you know, whatever the Lord wants to do, it's his house. Because I was a bit, you know, like, wow, okay. You know, some pastors would be like, you know what, this is our house and you need permission. And so I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to get it here. I'm going to get in trouble. But you welcomed me and you said it's okay where the Spirit of the Lord is, what you said is. There is freedom. And we welcome you in this house. And whatever the Lord wants to do, we are in agreement with that. And I said, wow, okay. And so I never left.
So I want to ask at this point, is there anybody who's like, I got to say it, because I'm going to ask you to wait till next week. Who's got to say it? Monique's got to say it? Monique's got to say it. Come on, Monique. You got to say it. Everybody else has got to save it till next week.
The thing that really drew me in is the first time we came, you know, we're here, and you spoke to me. But the second time, you remember my name. For a person that spends most of their life not being noticed, that was huge for somebody that only met me once to remember my name and really, like, want to know about me. So that's what really, like, fooled me right in.
Thank you. You know what? Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm really glad that we got them recorded. If you didn't share this week, you don't get away. Next week is coming. But the reason why this is so important is because we all need to hear it. It edifies us to remember that we are one body. And so what touches us intimately that impacts us touches the part of our body. It's like if it's nourishment and good for us, you know, my arm is going, thank you for sharing that, thank you. And I want to just say that too, to remember that everybody who comes in here is going to have a first time. And we contribute to that. And there will be different things. You will be so surprised. This past Sunday we had a membership class. We ask this question every membership class. And this past Sunday's membership class, the woman who was brand new said, the love in this place made me know instantly. And she's from Zimbabwe. She said, I've never been any place like this with so many different races and so many different backgrounds, and the love is consistent. And she said, today's service, this was Sunday, I felt it so strong that I was to offer that to somebody else. So she went and found somebody sitting on the back row who she never saw before and said, would you come and sit with me? And the lady who was here for the first time came and sat with the young woman for the first time, and she was a part of our membership class. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that as a word from the Lord. And we may be inviting people. Could you invite somebody to come sit with you? I was like, thank you for sharing that. And every time, it blesses and edifies us, but it's encouraging something that I know is of the Lord. And so I am asking you to hold your story and be prepared to share it next week. And I'm also asking you to stay aware. Stay aware of your surroundings on Sunday. I know that the many people in this room are already serving, are already busy, are already doing their ministry and have responsibilities, but could you please stay aware? I was not someone, I don't forget a face, but I had to practice to remember names. And I mean, I would see it, say it, and then sometimes I'll say, could you spell that for me? Because I need to see it in my head again, just because that's what I believe says, like, Monique, you matter to me. I want to. So I began to pray, Lord, would you help me? Would you help me remember people's names? And so it got to the place the Lord started rubbing off on her. She's like, I can't remember all those names. I said, quit saying that. Yes, you can. Like, and she began, because Monday mornings we do a debriefing and we want to know, like, who did you meet? Who did you meet? Who was here? And who did we miss? So I just want to encourage you, you please, if you can, to save the trees, can you bring back your notes next week from last week. We won't read all of this. There may be some more things that we hand out next week, but we just want to, with intentionality, give you what we believe God has done and who he's made us to be and who we are becoming. So the next half of this that talks a little bit more about serving, we're going to get into discipleship because that's what he told us to do, go and make disciples. And we're going to talk about probably some surprising ways, if you read ahead, it won't be so surprising, but that's fine, but some surprising ways that we don't really think that people are being discipled. Many times we think that discipleship happens in a classroom. That is one way, but it's not the only way. And so we want to get into that. That's a culture item for us, that people are being made disciples. That's very important for us. I want to close this meeting with praying for the needs that we opened the meeting with and then ask if there's any other prayer needs. So please raise your hand while I grab my pen if you have a prayer need, because we opened with some prayer needs. And there were people that came in later. Any other prayer needs? I just go out. Banny. Michelle's back. Okay. Okay, as I pray, can I have some ministry leaders? Can we just grab some oil and go lay hands on Michelle, some altar ministry? And can we join together as a body and agree for this healing? Anybody else, John? I'm sorry, I missed it.
We have a couple of friends in Chicago that just need some healing that we're trying to help out. So I just pray that God is pleased.
Okay. Okay. Miss Julie?
A friend of mine, Tina, also had problems. She was taken to the hospital today.
Anyone? Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to come before you in faith, in agreement, committing every area of healing to you right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all requests, and we place them on your altar right now. We place this great grandchild that's on the way, Tyshawn. We place Arielle's decision making on the altar right now, and her desire of how this next trimester is, she wants to go, and you've led her in it, God. I thank you for that being on your altar, Lord. Lord, we bring up Erica to you right now and the leadership of South Bend Schools. We lay it on the altar before you right now, Lord. Lord, we lift up Nicole Phillips to you right now, and we place even that very affliction, melanoma, we lay it on your altar right now, Lord. We lift up Michelle to you right now and her back and every part of the vertebrae system and the muscles and the spinal cord and how everything is connected. We lay it on your altar right now, Lord. For these friends of John and Rose's that need healing right now, Lord, you know who they are. We lay them on your altar, Lord. We lift Taylor up to you and place her and this mass that has been spotted on her body. We lay it on your altar to you right now, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for Miss Julie's request, for those back problems, Lord, that have been surfacing in the lives of friends and family members, Lord. Steve Overmeyer, Pastor Doug, Lord, all of these back ailments right now, we lay it on your altar right now, and we thank you, Lord God, that your word says that we can commit to you, and whatever we commit to you, you would watch over it, God. We thank you, Lord God, that healing is the children's bread, and today, Lord, we agree for healing, divine healing, Lord. We speak to pain and we tell it to go in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that it will line up every vertebrae, every muscle, every ligament and tendon and all of the things that I know and don't know. But God, you know because you made this body. You formed it. You fashioned it, Lord, so wonderfully and fearfully, Lord. And we speak to right now every condition. And we say line up with God's word, which is truth, that you healed us and delivered us from all of our afflictions, Lord. So by the stripes of Jesus, we receive that healing right now. Lord, we thank you for watching over every affliction that has been named and those that have not been named, God. We commit them to you, Lord. And today we make an exchange for your healing, Lord. Father, we thank you for watching over this group of people, God. We thank you that we commit this body to you, this church to you, Lord. We commit this leadership team and every volunteer and every member and every attender, every regular attender, God, every first-time guest, Lord. This is your church. You want to build it, and we want to let you. So, Lord, we speak, Lord, encouragement to this body. We speak strength to this body. We speak growth to this body. We speak unity to this body, God. And we thank you for the healing, the miracle, the deliverance, the signs, the wonders, the salvations, Lord. All for your glory, God. All for your glory. And we thank you for the things, Lord, spoken and unspoken, that we commit to you, that you are making work for our good because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. Father, we say, have your way in this house. Have your way in our lives. We yield. We submit to you and we even submit to one another that every joint would be so fitly joined and you would supply it with the life of God, the blood of Jesus, the flow and the breath of God blow through our body. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and rest and rule and abide. And we thank you that with your presence comes change. With your presence, Lord, comes healing. With your presence comes wholeness. We ask for it and we agree. The sozo of the Lord is released in this house in Jesus' name. And we receive it by faith. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Please hold on to your paper. We'll have some next week. But if you have any questions, would you make a note of it, jot it down, and we will address it next week. Thank you so much. Great attendance. We appreciate you. Love you. Traveling mercies.